Matthew chapter number 6 to a familiar passage that many call the Lord's Prayer, and some would call it the model prayer. I probably favor that terminology better, the model prayer, as we'll see here in Matthew 6, that Jesus is not giving them a prayer just to repeat. Now, a lot of people do repeat it, and I mean, anytime you say scripture, that's not a bad thing, so I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that Jesus never said that we're supposed to repeat this prayer. We never see it repeated ever again after this time in the New Testament church. What it is it's a model prayer. He's giving them a model. He's giving them an outline, an example. Look at Matthew 6 and verse number 9. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Let me ask you guys a question. Did Jesus pray? Did he pray a lot or a little? Prayed a lot. In fact, the disciples were so moved by it, they're like, "Lord, teach us to pray. We want to be able to pray like you." And so Jesus starts teaching them about prayer. He says a lot more than what I just read. In fact, we did a whole message just on the first 7 or 8 verses. He begins teaching them about prayer. And in the context of that, he says, "After this manner." In other words, I'm going to give you guys a model. These are some things that you really need to be thinking about and that you should be incorporating into your prayer life. And so then he gives them, boom, he gives them this. This provides you with a skeleton. It provides you a model. It provides you something that you can kind of take and then make it personal to your life. And that's what we've been doing. We said that this prayer begins with praise, and that whenever you come to the Lord in prayer, whenever you have your prayer time, always begin with praise. How many of you guys have something good that you could praise God for? Say amen, huh? Yeah, praise him. Tell him. Thank him. Say, "Lord, thank you. Lord, I praise you for who you are. You're my rock." You know, we just sung that. "You're my rock, God. And you're my strong tower, you're my fortress, you're my strength." And so when you go to the Lord in prayer, you praise him. You praise him. You spend a little bit of time thanking him and praising him for who he is and for what he's done in your life. And then the second part of the prayer, look down there at verse number 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Does God have a will that he wants done on the earth today? Yes or no? Does God have a will that he wants accomplished? Yes or no? Yes. Is God's work, is what he's doing on this earth, is that important? Yes or no? That's very important. That's the most important. And I think sometimes we make prayer all about us. And Jesus' example is, no, when you go to prayer, the first two sections of this prayer are you're on your knees praising him for who he is. Then the next part, boom, you're going into praying about his work on earth. You're praying about what God's doing on the earth. You're praying for your local church. You're praying for your pastors. You're praying for souls to come to know the Lord as their Savior. Man, we have had so many souls saved this past week. It has just been incredible. Last Sunday after this service, we had a precious couple that accepted Christ as their Savior. And then all through the week, man, we've just been seeing people saved left and right. And it's because people are praying. You're praying for souls to come to know the Lord through this ministry of Crossroads. We're praying we'll be a light in the community. So when you pray, spend some time praying for your pastors. Pray for your church. Pray for the ministries you're involved in. Pray for things like Vacation Bible School, that many boys and girls will hear and understand the gospel and be saved. You know, you're praying for God's work to be accomplished, for God's will, for the gospel to go out. But then the third part of our prayer life is found in verse 11. Look at it with me. What's that verse say? "Give us this day our daily bread." What does daily bread mean? It speaks of your daily needs, right? What are your needs? What do you want to see God accomplish in your life? What do you want to see God accomplish? What do you want to see God do? That's where you pray about that. You know, what are some needs in your life? What are some real genuine needs that you have in your life? What do you want to see God do in your kids' lives? What do you want to see God do in your grandkids' lives? You know, I believe that you've got things you'd like to see God do. Ask him. You got to talk to him. You got to pray about it. That's where that power is released, is in prayer. And so you pray for your needs. There's definitely a time and a place to pray for your needs. He said, give us this day our daily bread. That's when you pray for your needs. So I begin with praise. Then I pray about God's work, and I pray for my local church and everything involved with that. Then I pray for my daily needs. Now let's get into some new territory. Let's look at verse number 12. He says, and forgive us. Let's say that verse together. You ready? Say it with me. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, in your handout, it says this. Problems are a built-in part of life here on earth. And by the way, that's number four, is pray about your problems. I'm sorry, I didn't give you that. Number four is pray about your, that verse is all about problems. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's all about problems. And in your handout, it says that problems are a built-in part of life here on earth. And so Jesus knew that. He instructs his disciples to pray about the problems of life. Now, we could take that verse and we can divide it up into two sections. Forgive us our debts. What does that deal with? In your handout, get this. It says the first part of that verse deals with our personal problems. Lord, it says, forgive us our debts. Now, when I say the word debt, what do you think of? Money. Somebody said money. Somebody said my mortgage, right? My car payments. Now, that's not what that's talking about. If you look up the word debts, it means a moral failure. Forgive us our debts. Luke translates it, forgive us our sins. So you got the idea, right, of what that means. He's talking about personal problems that you're dealing with. Personal sin problems. Lord, forgive us our sins or our debts, our moral failures. We all have problems. We all have weaknesses we're dealing with. We all have sin issues. One guy prayed this. He said, dear Lord, he said, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy. I haven't been grumpy or nasty. I haven't been selfish or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to really need you a lot more. He was doing okay until he got out of bed, right? And, so many times, that's the truth. Man, once we get out of that bed, man, and we hit the floor, there's issues, you know? And we need to take time daily to consider our sins, consider our shortcomings that are hindering us in our walk with Christ. We have to be willing to confront those sins and be very honest with God about them. You know, the Bible talks about the church at Corinth, and there was a lot of sin issues in that church. Well, Paul wrote to them the truth, and he wanted them to get right. And he wrote them back later, and here's what he said. He said, you sorrowed to repentance because you were made sorry after a godly manner. In other words, they were not just sorry they got caught. They weren't just sorry they got caught. They were truly repentant of their ungodly behavior. And whenever you repent, the word repent means to change your mind, to change your thinking. So whenever you repent, no longer is it about, well, I better make sure I cover this up. You know, I deserve a little bit of fun. No, those kind of thoughts are gone. Now, when I truly repent and I come face to face with my sin and I want to get real and I want to get right, I repent. I completely change my thinking about that sin. Now, all of a sudden, I realize, no, this is not okay. It is not okay to be this way. It is not okay to talk this way. It is not okay to treat my spouse this way. It is not okay to treat my kids this way. It is not okay. And we come to that place where our mind completely changes and our thinking completely changes. That's repentance. That's repentance. And each day we come before the Lord, we have to come. And as a section of our prayer life here, we see that we spend some time just getting honest about ourselves, getting honest about our life. You know, and I know this is hard sometimes to hear this, but I'm telling you, you know, that you just need to be really open to that. You need to be very open to the fact that, yeah, you know what? I do need that in my life. I do need time every day. And it's funny how you can think you're okay, and you can think you have had a great day, and then all of a sudden, when you ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your heart and to your mind anything that wasn't right that day, you know, you went into prayer thinking, I think I've pretty much been sinless today. And then when you start praying, and by the time you've praised Him, and by the time you've prayed about God's work on earth, and you've prayed about your daily needs, now all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit starts bringing to mind things that you either did that you shouldn't have done, or there's things you should have done that you didn't do. You know? It's like, it's not enough that I just not be mean to Denise. Holy Spirit says, you know, you really haven't loved on her today. You haven't said anything kind to her. You know? And so the Holy Spirit brings to your mind the things that you really know you ought to do, but you haven't done. That's sin too. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the Holy Spirit brings that to your mind, and you go to the Lord as your Father, and you get that right. You see, our sins are forgiven in the sense we're never going to go to hell if we're saved. If we've trusted in the Lord as our Savior, we have received judicial forgiveness by the judge of the universe. And he has remitted the penalty of our sin, and we will never, ever have to incur the wrath of God eternally in hell for our sin if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are saved, amen, church? And the judge has declared us justified. He has declared us righteous. And so we have judicial forgiveness the moment we get saved. But can I submit to you, how many of you have come to the realization that it is possible to sin after you've been saved? Yeah. And you know what? After we get saved, we can still sin. So what about that? Well, again, we've already got judicial forgiveness. We're not going to go to hell for it, but it disrupts our fellowship with our Father. You see, he's not just our judge. Praise God, now that we're saved, he's our Father. Amen, church? He's our Father. He's more than just our judge. And so we come before the Lord with that. Listen, your sins won't keep you from heaven if you're saved, but guess what? They may just get you there quicker. Let that sink in. Your sins won't keep you from heaven, but they may get you there quicker than you were planning on getting there. You say, why? Because sin is destructive. Sin is destructive internally, and it's also destructive externally to you, to your body. Sin is destructive. And so while your sins will not keep you from heaven, if you're not daily dealing with those things, and you're just continuing headlong with your sin, like I said, they may get you to heaven quicker. Sin is destructive. So what we do is we come before God with honesty, and we admit our sin to our Heavenly Father. And then the Father gives us parental forgiveness, and he restores that sweet fellowship. It's kind of like when I raised up my three boys. I have three sons, and as I was raising them up and they were kids, they would sin. Did y'all know pastor's kids sin? Did you know that? They do, man. They sin, don't they? And my kids would sin, and they would do something that was very offensive to Denise or I, right? It was just wrong. And so they would come to us, and we would encourage them to acknowledge their sin. And then it wasn't a matter of, they already had judicial forgiveness. I wasn't going to end our relationship and sever the relationship because of what they did. No, at the end of the day, I'm still their dad. Just like at the end of the day, God is still your Father. At the end of the day, I'm still their dad. But what they needed was parental forgiveness. What they needed to do was acknowledge their sin to Denise or I, or both of us, and then they needed us to grant to them parental forgiveness. And that restores that sweet fellowship. And it's that same way in our relationship with God. So each day, part of your prayer life should be dealing with your personal sins, your personal problems, your personal issues that are hindering your communion, your walk with Christ. Paul talks about, the Apostle Paul talked about cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. He wrote that to Christians. And he said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. You know what he was saying? He was saying, clean up your life. Clean it up. He was saying, deal with that sin in your life. Deal with it. So every day you pray about those personal sin problems. God wants you to be honest with him about those things. But then there's a second part to the prayer. He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. In your handout, it says the second part of this verse deals with people problems. The first part dealt with personal problems. The second part of this verse deals with people problems. The first part of that verse deals with our sins that are hindering us. The second part of this verse deals with relationships that are hindering us. And the idea when he says forgive our debtors, help us to forgive our debtors, the idea of that is that, hey, I'm not going to hypocritically expect from God what I'm not willing to give to other people. I am not going to hypocritically expect God to forgive all my many sins and then not extend that same grace and forgiveness to somebody else. Luke, the Gospel of Luke records this same prayer. He translates it this way. He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And again, the idea of indebted really isn't talking about money. The word indebted speaks of somebody who has been delinquent in their responsibility towards you. How many of you have ever had somebody let you down that you really loved and they let you down? Raise your hand if you've had that happen. Someone let you down. Now, can I get a little more personal? How many of you would just be real, be honest, and say, and you know what? I have let down other people. Raise your hand if you've let down others. Yeah. You see, that's life, isn't it? That's called life. People are going to wrong you, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. People are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. And it may be a mom or a dad that really let you down. They were delinquent in their responsibilities toward you. They were flat out delinquent. Maybe it was a stepmom or a stepdad, and man, that stepmom treated you horribly, or that stepdad was just very abusive to you in his words. Maybe it was a brother or a sister who really let you down, a cousin. Maybe it was a best friend. Maybe it was a childhood friend. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a boss at work. Maybe it was a husband who really let you down, or it was a wife that let you down. Maybe it was your kids, your own kids that let you down. Maybe it was a fellow church member that just really tore your heart out, really offended you. Maybe it was a pastor that really, really let you down and disappointed you. People are going to hurt you, and people are going to let you down. And if you allow it, these relationship problems have the potential of really hindering you in your walk with Jesus Christ. It can absolutely paralyze you. So you say, Pastor Dan, what do I do? You do exactly what Jesus said to do. You make a choice to forgive. Forgiveness means that you are going to release that person from the penalty that they should incur. Now, I'm not talking about criminal offenses. If somebody commits a criminal offense, then they need to be called on the carpet and the police need to be called in. I'm not talking about that. All right. I'm not talking about an abusive situation where someone's abusing you. If you're a lady in here, you need to call 911. All right. So I'm not talking about those kind of criminal offenses. I'm not even talking about money here. I mean, you may forgive someone of a debt money-wise they owe you, but that's really not what I'm talking about. When we talk about forgiving those who have been delinquent in their responsibilities towards us, I'm talking about people who have just really hurt you. They have ripped your heart out. They have stabbed you in the back. They have disappointed you greatly. You have got to forgive them. Listen, before the cross of Jesus Christ, people were to forgive others in order to be forgiven by God. Look down at verse number 14. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So before the cross, remember, this is written before the cross work. Before the cross, it was like, you know what? You forgave in order to be forgiven. Now it's different. Since the cross of Jesus Christ happened, the cross isn't here today because of VBS, but since the cross of Jesus Christ has happened and that full atonement for sin has been made and we receive a full forgiveness when we get saved, the motivation's a little bit different now. In your handout, look at Ephesians 4:32. Notice what it says, Ephesians 4:32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has what? Forgiven you." So now the motivation to forgive is because we have been forgiven of so much. His forgiveness of all of our sins should cause us to forgive others. There may be someone that has really hurt you, and you really maybe haven't even verbalized that out to anybody. You've held that internally. I'm telling you, that's poison to your system, your spiritual system. You need to forgive. You say, "Pastor Dan, why should I let them off the hook? They don't deserve it. They haven't even asked my forgiveness. Why should I let them off the hook?" Well, what I want you to understand is that you're letting them off of your hook, but they're not off of God's hook. You're letting them off your hook. You say, "Well, why should I do that?" You have to leave it with God, and you got to let God deal with it, because if you don't do that, you stay hooked to that person and that hurt. And when you forgive, when you face the cross and you say, "God, because you have forgiven me so much in my life, I can forgive so-and-so for what they've done to me." And when you do that, you unhook yourself so that now you can walk in freedom. Amen. So you see how prayer is so important? You see how this prayer kind of is giving you a guideline for so many things we deal with every day? I mean, we're dealing with personal needs. We're dealing with God's work on earth. We're dealing with personal sin problems that we have. We're dealing with relationship problems that come into our life that we need to deal with. You know, deal with it quickly. That's why you need to have a daily prayer life, because you don't want to let this stuff build up. You do not want to get bitter at someone and just let that thing build up and fester day after day after day after day. You want to make sure that you really, really come before the Lord and deal with that thing quickly and bring forgiveness into that situation, because you don't need to harbor that stuff in your heart. It's poison to your system. You've got to get rid of that. Leave it with the Lord. All right, let me give you the fifth thing. Number five, the fifth section of this prayer is found, actually go to your Bible and look at verse number 13. The fifth part of this prayer is the fifth section. He says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In your handout, it says, "Pray for your daily spiritual walk." Pray for your daily spiritual walk. That's what this is dealing with. I'm going to give you the next statement in your handout. Look at it with me. It says, "We should have a desire to live victoriously and not be overcome by the evil in this world." There, would you guys agree, man? There's a lot of evil out there, isn't there? And there's a lot that can catch your attention, friend. And this is where prayer is so important, because you don't have a chance without prayer. The most important thing, listen, I'm going to say this, and I want everybody to hear very closely what I'm about to say. Very important statement. Very important statement right here. The most important thing about you personally is your walk with Jesus Christ. It is not your appearance, friend. And it is not your pocketbook. The most important thing about you is not the house you live in or the car you drive. The most important thing about you is not your clothes. And it is not your phone, and it is not your figure. The things that we worry about the most, if they were perfect, they would only threaten to destroy our life through pride and temptation. Yet our flesh longs for those things. Oh, we want a good looks and fine figure and the appearance of wealth and fashionable and successful and popular. And all those things bring terrible temptations. And temptation threatens to destroy everything good and everything right, everything wholesome and good in your life. That word temptation there, when he says, lead us not into temptation, it carries the idea of adverse situations that Satan could use against us. It's the idea of Satan taking adverse situations, using them to undermine our faith, using those situations to make us a shipwreck spiritually at sea. So what's the deal here? Well, the deal is I come before the Lord daily, and the fifth part of my prayer is, God, look, I can't see all things, God, but you can. So God, please steer me away from areas of temptation that could hurt me. Steer me away from areas of temptation that could hurt my walk with you, God. I don't want any part of that. I don't want anything to do with the temptations in this world system. God, I don't want that in my life. So God, help me to steer me around those things. I don't want it. Paul prayed something similar in 2 Thessalonians 3. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. And he said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. What's he saying? Lead me around these temptations, God. Pray for us, because we need that prayer. So a vital part of our prayer life is that we look ahead throughout the day. And most of us know what's coming in a day, don't we? You don't always know. You get curveballs, but we know kind of what's coming. We know we got an appointment. We know we got to work. We got to go to work. We know we got to commute. We know we got to get to work. We know we have to have appointments that day. We know maybe we got a dinner engagement that night. We know kind of what's going on in our life. So we look throughout the day and we take time to pray through those situations that we'll be encountering that day. And we pray that the Lord will help us to do the right thing and to make the right decisions. Have you guys noticed, I don't know if you're like me, isn't it easy to get off course in this life, huh? I mean, it's like, say for example, that's God's way right there, right? The center aisle here, and that's God's way. And man, it is so easy to start out on God's way, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, maybe without even realizing it, you have completely veered off in the wrong direction. Can anybody associate with that? Amen? You're walking God's way, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, so subtly, you have veered off, and you are so far from where you need to be. You are so far from the person God's called you to be. You are so far. You're chasing things you got no business chasing. You're prioritizing things that you got no business putting a priority on. You're forgetting the most important things in your life, and you have veered completely off course from where you need to be. And that's where this prayer comes in, that, Lord, I don't want to be led down the wrong road. I don't want to be down that road of temptation. So, God, please help me. I don't want to get swallowed up by the evil in this evil world system. God, I want to walk with you. And I want to see things clearly as they really are. So many times we see things as we imagine them to be. We see ourselves like we imagine ourselves to be. We see our life as we imagine it to be, but we don't see things clearly like they really are. And so we pray, Lord, give me the discernment to see things as they really are. Help me to see my marriage as it really is. Help me to see my kids as they really are. Help me to see my heart as it really is. Help me to see the situations I'm going to encounter today with wisdom as they really are, not just as I think they are. And then the sixth part of the prayer is this. You praise him again. In verse number 13, he says, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you end your prayer the same way you started it. You praise him. You praise him for who he is. You praise him for his awesome power. You come before him and you're like, okay, Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. You are the only living and true God. I know you have heard my prayer because, Jesus, you are my Savior. You died on the cross for me, and to you belongs honor, power, and glory. Amen. You end your prayer with praise. You start it with praise. You end it with praise. And And I'm going to bring up on the screen kind of a sample here of what I would call a prayer list. And what I've done is I've only got two lines on each one because that's all I had room for. You may have 10 lines. You may have 15 lines under each one of these. But the first section there we talked about was to praise Him. So let's go ahead and bring those up. Go ahead and bring them up. Praise God. Then the second section was you pray for God's work. And that's where you're going to pray for your church and pray for your pastors and pray for the ministries like VBS. Pray for the different outreach events that we've got coming up. That's where you're going to pray for souls to be saved and pray for unity in the church and pray for all those things, you know, that are on your heart about your church and about God's work on earth. Then the third thing is you pray for your needs, and you can list those out. Again, you may have 15 things under there, just things that you want to see God do and be involved in. And then the next section we talked about was our problems. And we want to pray through these, what we talked about today. Forgive us our sin problems, as we forgive others, relationship problems. So we pray about those. Then number five, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That's our walk with Christ. Pray about your walk that day. Pray that you'll be victorious that day. And then you end by what? Praising Him again, right? And you think about that. You look at that. If you were to spend 5 minutes in each one of those a day, you wouldn't even have to do it at one time. You may do 5 minutes when you get up, praise Him. You may do 5 minutes mid-morning, 5 minutes on your lunch break, 5 minutes when you get home from work, 5 minutes after dinner, 5 minutes before you go to bed. But that would equal 30 minutes a day of prayer. You know, if you were to do 10 minutes on each, that would be, and again, you may not spend 10 on each one. You may spend 5 on one and 15 on another. It's just the ebb and flow of life, you know. Things are different. There will be some times in your life when really your needs are minimal, and so you're praying more just for God's work. You know, you find yourself spending a lot more time praying for your church and for precious souls. And then there may be times when you just got all kinds of relationship problems going on. So you're just going to spend a lot more time on number four there than you are the others. And my point is that if you were to just average 10 minutes on each one of those a day, that's 60 minutes. That's an hour a day. And when I was in college, I had a preacher that came, and I couldn't tell you anything about the message other than I know he preached on this passage, and I know that he kind of broke it down like this, and I don't even know if the terminology is the same. And I remember how much it spoke to my heart. That's 30 years ago. And I remember how much it spoke to my heart, and I remember how it challenged me. And he was challenging us, you know, he's like, hey, you know, we were Bible college students. He's like, you should pray an hour a day. Spend 10 minutes in each one of these. And I remember I took that to heart, and God really challenged me. And I'm not saying you need to pray an hour. I'm just saying wherever you're at, go a little deeper than where you are right now. You know, maybe some of you are only spending 5 minutes a day praying. Go to 10. And you can use this outline. And what you'll find is that if you really begin filling in your personal prayer needs under each one of these, you'll be surprised how much time you're spending in prayer. Because you got a plan now. There's a plan. There's a focus here. It's not just haphazardly whatever pops into my mind. No, I would encourage you to even write some of these things out. Make a written prayer list or type it up on the computer and know what you're praying for. What do you want God to do? What do you want to see Him do? You got to ask Him. You got to talk to Him. It's not very often that I recommend a movie, but have you guys ever heard of the movie called War Room? Have you ever heard of that? War Room? That is a great Christian movie put out by a Christian company about prayer. And the basic premise of the movie is this lady, older lady, who's teaching this younger lady about prayer. And this younger lady's having problems in her marriage and stuff. And she's like teaching her, she said, you know, you need to go to battle in your prayer room, in your prayer closet. She said, that's where you need to go to battle. And she said, you get on your knees and you go to war. Because listen, let me tell you something. We're not fighting with people. Let me tell you something. Satan is our enemy. The Bible says that he throws fiery darts at us, Paul said. The Bible says that talks about overcoming the wiles. That's the tricks of the devil. It talks about the snares of the devil, the traps. And so that's our enemy. That's who we're fighting. And so we go, and the whole idea of the movie is this lady had what she called her war room. And this was her prayer place where she prayed every day, and she would go to battle against Satan. And she had a plan, a strategic plan, how she was praying for different people in her life and different things in her life. It's a good movie, War Room. You ought to get it, and you ought to, if you haven't seen that. It's very moving, and it very much nails this thing that if you want to see God move, you've got to pray. You've got to pray. You have to seek God. In your handout, it says, nothing we do really matters if we aren't praying. If we aren't praying, God's not in it. It's that simple. But then it says, the last statement in your handout says, but when we pray, we get God involved in every situation of life. When you're praying, you're getting God's involvement in that thing now. You're getting God involved in that thing. And that's what you want. You want to get God's involvement in that situation. And so I hope this will kind of help you. Go back to that prayer list one more time. If we could go back, I really hope that you can take that kind of, you know, it's all based on the Lord's Prayer here, the model prayer, and it lays it out so beautifully to where you can definitely become a prayer warrior and you can seek God and you can go through these things each day. Spend some time praising Him and spend some time on all these things. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.